to this episode of Horrific History and Hauntings. I'm Beth.
And I'm Ramey. We're your hosts here to talk about the stories that the history books ignore.
From horrific epidemics and ghostly hauntings to the catastrophes and tragic events that have sickened humanity.
Indeed. What happened today in history, since I know it's pointless to ask you what we're talking about first?
It's going to be a horrific hydro hellscapes episode. But today in history, in 2001, this isn't really horrific, but Microsoft released the Xbox gaming console.
I know. It's also Halo Combat Evolved's birthday, I believe.
I thought that was yesterday. Oh, no, it's today.
It was a launch title.
Well, there's another one I have. It's a little more horrific. 2004, a 10-year-old grilled cheese sandwich with markings that resembled the Virgin Mary sold on eBay for $28,000.
Of course it did.
And the seller claimed it had never grown mold in the 10 years that he had had it. I consider that horrific day in history because somebody really stupid and careless with money had that much money that they decided to spend on a 10-year-old grilled cheese sandwich.
I bet they'd beg to differ unless it's molded. No, probably agree.
And if it didn't mold, that means it's pumped full of preservatives and chemicals.
Look at my mummified grilled cheese sandwich Virgin Mary.
That I bought for $28,000. And there's people that stupid with that kind of money. Awful. Anyway, that's all I have for today in history.
Okay.
Just small, simple things. The first topic of horrific hydros is the Alaskan tsunamis of 1964.
I say that was an unpleasant place to be. Cold water.
Mm-hmm. On March 27th, 1964, Alaska near Prince William Sound was hit by a record-breaking 9.2 magnitude earthquake at around 5:36 p.m. The shaking of the earth lasted for about 4.5 minutes, and this became a historic event as it was the strongest earthquake ever recorded in the U.S. and the second largest in history.
Alaska is always go big or go home, kind of like Texas.
Mm-hmm. The Pacific tectonic plate suddenly slipped underneath the North American plate, and the shockwaves covered over 800,000 square miles. So pretty much all of Alaska could feel it. The earthquake was felt by over 100,000 people, but the impact of the shake was surprisingly low. Only 9 people were killed as a result of the earthquake itself. And the buildings suffered minimal damage because of the shaking itself.
Alaska's built different.
The biggest problem wasn't the shaking, really, but instead the liquefaction. The friction from the shaking of the earth melted the frozen soil, causing the earth to lose its grip and slide away. Turnagain Heights, a massive chunk of the neighborhood, which was about 130 acres, slid about half a mile, taking 75 houses with it. In downtown Anchorage, the Government Hill Elementary School was ripped into multiple pieces, and it was lucky that it was 5:36, so nobody was in the school.
Yeah.
The school closes around 3-ish.
I don't know. Did it in the 60s in Alaska?
Apparently so, because nobody was there. Tsunami surges hit as far away as Antarctica. 106 died in Alaska due to the tsunamis, 13 in California, and 5 in Oregon.
They just ruined the whole coast.
It also didn't help that Alaska's communication with other states was completely cut off because of the earthquake. So they had no way of warning them, hey, we've had a massive earthquake. Yeah. A tsunami could be heading your way.
I wonder how many people thought it was the communists. Because they were so close to Russia. And it was the Cold War era. All of a sudden you lost track of Alaska and it's the closest state to Russia. Literally, it's like a border with them.
I don't know. I never thought about it.
You know, people were like, oh God, it's the Russians. It's the commies.
Oh. The tsunamis came from two different sources. The earthquake physically shoving the ocean floor upward and pushing massive amounts of water up. And then the second was caused by the shaking, knocking loose massive chunks of earth, causing submarine landslides, which I hear is worse when it comes to creating tsunamis. In Valdez, the harbor floor collapsed from the shaking, which sent a wave crashing in just a matter of minutes after the earthquake started. The first surges hit other towns, not the nearest towns, but the other towns, just 20 to 50 minutes after.
Huh.
That's how fast it was moved. So it pretty much, when they say a matter of minutes, Valdez, it was pretty much instant.
Yeah.
In 1967, the town of Palmer, Alaska, started a watch for local threats after the failures from the 1964 disaster. While Hawaii focused on the deep ocean, Palmer took responsibility for the mainland. By 1996, Palmer was the official guardian of the entire West Coast.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Lake Chelan is next. It's located in the state of Washington. It's glacier-fed and it stretches about 55 miles long. It's also the third deepest freshwater lake in the U.S. It plunges about 1,500 feet, more than that in some spots. The locals have a saying that it never yields its dead.
It's just the dumping ground for the Collinses.
On November 26, 1945, on a snowy morning, a school bus carrying 20 kids and one woman was driving along the cliffs of the lake. The driver was blinded by the heavy snow and ended up hitting a rock. The bus slid off the road, tumbled down a 30-foot embankment, and sank into the icy water. A few of the students managed to escape through the bus windows. Only six people, five being children and the other being the woman passenger, managed to escape and get back to shore. The bus, along with the driver and 15 students, disappeared into the deep icy water. For a week, Navy divers tried to find the wreck. They finally located the bus perched on a rock ledge about 210 feet below the surface, and if it had slid just a few more yards, it would have dropped into the 1,400-foot abyss and probably never would have been found. The crews actually ended up carefully hoisting the bus to the surface, but they only found the bodies of four students and the driver inside.
Well, you got to think of the ones who settled and then tried to get out, and once they got out, they just couldn't make it to 200 feet up.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell where they ended up.
How would they make it to 200 feet down?
The bus sinks pretty quick once it's full of water. People open the windows to escape.
Oh, true. The windows were obviously already open from the people who had already escaped. Two other bodies had been found earlier, but the remaining nine children were never discovered, recovered, or discovered. Also, there's another thing about this lake. A local Native American legend tells of a large monster that lives in it.
Oh, that might have done what happened there.
It's described as having the head of a snake, the body of an alligator, a scaly tail, and bat wings.
What's it called?
Sometimes it's referred to as the Dragon of the Lake. I only found one source that said this. I think it was called the Devil of the Lake, but...
Nine children, now you're the devil.
Yeah, but there wasn't much about that one. Something about a man getting his leg bitten by it, but there wasn't much about it. So I was like, we'll just stick to the bus story.
Nibble.
Yeah. Next is the Salton Sea Disaster. Maybe Salton, but it's spelt Salton. It's a salty area.
Makes sense. Salt.
Yeah. In 1905, engineers accidentally broke a canal on the Colorado River. Water flooded into a dry desert hole for 2 years and created a massive lake, the Salton Sea. By the 1950s, it became a famous resort. Celebrities such as Frank Sinatra would visit. I want to say the Beach Boys did too.
The salty Beach Boys. Yeah.
Because the water was extra salty, making it easier to float, it was perfect for swimming and fun stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Natural, like a ecological disaster, and it's a good place to swim.
Yeah, it gets worse. The flaw is that the water flows in from farms carrying fertilizer and chemicals with it.
Oh, enjoy that
cancer. And it had no drain, therefore nowhere to go.
Yeah, so it's just a poison lake.
Yeah. Then the water would evaporate and the salt and chemicals would stay behind, causing over 100 years of the water turning into this toxic, salty sludge. Eventually, the water got way too salty to sustain life and millions of fish died and their bones are just everywhere.
Petrified there, yeah, because nothing could
all
eat.
Over. Just rotting smell of fish, apparently.
Pretty sure I've seen this on What on Earth?
Probably.
If you hear a crackling noise, it's a flag I hung up outside the building here. It's a windy day, and so it's kind of smacking against stuff.
As the lake dries up, the wind picks the dust up from the bottom, and this dust is full of arsenic and other toxins, so the air quality there is now trash.
Middle of nowhere, it's a perfect place to live and recuperate and get over your TB.
Yeah.
And it's arsenic.
If you look up the images, it's really cool. You could tell where it used to be a fun thing, but now it looks like a wasteland.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they use it as a bomb test site for a while, too?
It looks like a place that you could do that.
I think maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe it's a different place, but I could have swore the Navy or the Air Force just put targets out in this place and test them out, too.
Well, I mean, it's already full of toxic dust. Why not?
Yeah. Could be another lake like that I'm thinking of.
For this reason today, the resorts are gone because who wants to vacation at a beach where... You know, there's toxic dust and no water and the fish corpses are lying about, smelling up the place. Also, they blame the toxic dust for many of the local kids having asthma.
You know, that makes sense, I guess. I mean, to a layman like me, I'm not a doctor.
Next up is Morgan Island, South Carolina. It's strictly off limits to humans because it is the only place in the United States that serves as a free-range breeding ground for thousands of monkeys. Poor little monkeys.
I had no idea. the monkeys lived in the U.S. that weren't pets.
They do get used, sadly. The island was originally uninhabited due to its remoteness and distance from the mainland. Also, it was mentioned in the source that I was looking at that it was a marshland. In modern history, in 1979, it began to be used due to a medical crisis. That's the fun part.
Oh.
Yeah. Originally, these monkeys lived at the Caribbean Primate Research Center in La Pargra. It's somewhere in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere in Puerto Rico. In the late 1970s, the colony suffered outbreaks of the herpes B virus, which can be fatal to humans.
Oh, dear.
The outbreaks combined with the monkeys escaping into local Puerto Rican towns caused panic among the local human population.
Rightly so.
So the decision was finally made to relocate the whole colony of monkeys entirely. South Carolina offered Morgan Island as the solution.
Wonder what they got paid to do that.
I don't know.
There had to be a reason.
Maybe. I don't know. Over 1,400 monkeys were flown to and released on the island.
I could just see them dropping a box of monkeys off the...
Little parachutes. Today, the population has grown.
Little herpes monkeys.
I hope they landed at least.
Well, they survived. It's all that matters.
Yeah. Today, the population has grown to about 3,500 to 4,000 monkeys. While they live
terribly inbred herpes monkeys.
Hepatitis, I think is what. You no, said, it's herpes.
You said
it's
herpes.
Nope. Yep. They technically live wild. They are still considered property of the U.S. government.
Who else would own herpes monkeys?
Specifically, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease.
Okay, that makes good sense now.
Yeah.
In case they need a stockpile of inbred herpes monkeys. You never know when we might need that.
The colony exists primarily to supply test subjects for medical research.
The cure for herpes?
The monkeys bred here are eventually trapped and shipped to labs to be used in experiments involving AIDS, HIV, polio, and bioterrorism defense vaccines.
Well, they're holding up well, I'm guessing.
Poor innocent little monkeys, though. We should let them live in peace on the island, and instead, the monkeys are innocent.
Yeah.
They can't help it if they have herpes.
How'd they get herpes?
I think... The Puerto Ricans were also using them as medical experiments.
Okay, that's not good.
To begin with. So, who knows what kind of diseases these poor monkeys have now.
A family of promiscuous monkeys.
Yeah. Despite the warnings and the fact it's 100% illegal to step foot on this island.
Fair.
Why would you want to?
Well, you know how many conspiracy theorists think they got to imagine there's something going on. Oh, they think we won't get near the so-called monkey sanctuary because it's full of herpes. I'll show them. There's probably aliens.
Well, I don't want to take my chance.
Most people don't, but okay. You know, you do find those few who do.
Yeah. People have occasionally tried to go there. The trespassers are often swarmed by aggressive troops of monkeys that hiss, screech, and pelt the intruders with feces to drive them away.
Herpes feces.
Herpes, HIV, polio, who knows, feces. Because you just...
Like a six-armed monkey.
Wanted to... Go hang out on an island.
With two heads comes running at you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was our short little episode. They're going to be short for a while.
That's probably the best one I've heard in a while. Also, I know herpes really isn't a terrible, terrible deal.
I listened to an episode
of Sawbones about it.
I wonder which one herpes B is.
It really wasn't a huge, huge deal until a ad campaign came out by the company who made the medication to repress the outbreaks, according to Sawbones. Medical tour of misguided medicine. And
okay, well, this one can often be fatal to humans.
Okay.
Well, so this particular type of herpes.
Well, the ones that people think about getting themselves, it was just the ads were like, they made this expensive medication and nobody was using it because really herpes is kind of not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's just kind of awkward. But they had these ad campaigns like, don't let your husband come home with, you know, those like scandalous things they were at in the commercials. And that's how the herpes, like, oh, you got herpes slur kind of thing started. It's because of that ad campaign, because they made an expensive drug and nobody was buying it.
Well.
Yeah.
Why don't they give it to the monkeys?
Apparently it's a different type of herpes. Mm. Okay. Well, that was a fun episode.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on our socials, the link tree in the description. There's also a baby's wish list, whatever it's called.
Registry.
Beth. Yeah, Beth, where she's expecting. She has a wedding coming up soon. internet scandal. We have TikTok, which apparently is doing well. If you like mini totes, find my TikTok, because a lot of people seem to like mini totes. What else is there? YouTube channels, unboxings. We got two or three different YouTube channels. We got shops. I got a Shopify set up finally for a site. If you want to find any of our 3D printed things or homemade stuff, crosses for the holidays. Mama makes beaded crosses, and they're very affordable. I have a link if you just want to send us a donation. But with all the things to purchase, I mean, that'd be nice, but you could always just purchase something and it'd still be helping pay the hosting fee. Again, thank you for listening. I've been Raimi.
And I'm Beth.
This has been H, H, and H. We didn't have a Lady in White episode.
No, there was no hauntings in this one.
Okay, well, bye-bye with that disappointment.